Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is great to have you in today. 1 hour from now, Joel Klatt on Wednesday. We'll talk college football, some massive, massive games this week, including Wisconsin and Notre Dame. Updates on the USC job. Two or three names are now surfacing. Joy, it's Wednesday, and so that is us reacting to Aaron Rodgers' weekly grievance. I mean,
is that what today means?
That's what it means. You know, it's interesting. I find Aaron fascinating because he, in the off season, the quote he had, which was beautiful mystery,
right?
And then the second quote was silence is often wisdom. Yet there's no mystery and no silence. He literally is driving all these stories because he won't stop talking.
It's interesting.
He's a lot of work. So let's just start with that. Nate Burleson, former NFL player, Bill Cowher, legendary coach on CBS, were very critical of Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, I didn't see it this past week. Aaron, by the way, watches and hears everything. Not married, no kids, Green Bay, small town, can't go out publicly. Like one restaurant he goes to legendarily. He sits home and consumes a lot of what people say about him. This is not a guy with kids and a family, and Aaron's not overly close to his family. A lot of time consuming stuff about you, and it gets in your head, and you create these little minefields. So apparently Bill Cowher, and I read the quotes, Cowher said stuff like, you know, he comes off kind of selfish. Nate Burleson said, you know, it feels like it's a little bit about himself. These are not zany opinions. These are shared by almost everybody. Apparently a former teammate who knows him well, JerMichael Finley, went out and just basically said, you know, he's not really committed. He doesn't look like he was committed against the Saints. These are not out of left field. A lot of people were saying a lot of things, and Nate Burleson and Bill Cowher and JerMichael Finley, I don't know, they played the game at a pretty high level. So Aaron had a couple of comments firing back on the Pat McAfee show. We like Pat. Here's the first one.
What's crazy to me is to let one storyline, right, by a person who has no contact with me, has zero relationship, to that become some sort of like narrative that's out there, that now I somehow don't care about ball because of my Zen attitude in the off season.
Yeah, JerMichael Finley actually did have a relationship with you, but you ghosted him like you do to many people. I've got seven I counted this morning that have told me that, Aaron. If anybody's ever critical of Aaron, he ghosts them. He ignores them. Aaron likes relationships that he can control and that people just say nice things about him. Aaron's complaining about don't know me. JerMichael Finley knows you, and that's who you're talking about. Has no relationship with me. Well, that's because you won't have any relationship with anybody who pushes back. It's you and your Hollywood friends and people who suck up to you. By the way, you don't have a relationship with your family, Aaron, because they won't suck up to you. So this idea that JerMichael Finley's opinion has no credibility, he played in the NFL at a high level. He was a teammate. But I've had multiple people tell me that if you don't suck up to Aaron, he'll only go on shows where you just, you know, you let him say what he wants to say. And that's fine, but let's not pretend that JerMichael Finley is a nobody, didn't play football, never played with you, because that's who you're addressing. You don't have a lot of relationships, Aaron. You don't have a lot of people outside of your little football teammates. Here's the second comment from Aaron Rodgers.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state. And, you know, my focus, my work habits, people that have not been around me, they're not in my life, I don't have communication with them, or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just, it's chicken shit. You know, it's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this, and it's the same type of people.
Your work habits, Aaron, they're well documented. You skipped all of your off-season program. You admitted that. You didn't work out with your receivers all year. Russell Wilson did. Brady did. These are public. These aren't reaches by Bill Cowher or JerMichael Finley or Nate Burleson. These aren't reaches. This is all public. They commented on that. By the way, if these people don't deserve a platform, if these people don't know anything, why does it so deeply bother you? Why are you making these insignificant people so significant? Bruh, you're a public figure. Quarterbacks in America are royalty. You're a public figure. Well, these people that aren't qualified, Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, JerMichael Finley, aren't qualified? I don't know. You want a Super Bowl? Pretty good players. Again, I don't comment on bloggers. If I don't think people have really any access or insight, I don't comment on them. Why are you elevating people and simultaneously saying they have no credibility? Then why are you talking about that? It's so funny when I look at the NFL right now and quarterbacks. This is so beneath Tom Brady. Can you imagine Tom Brady weekly going out and whining and complaining and being this high maintenance? Like Brady... Now with seven Super Bowls, when he won in Tampa, he's like the dad of all the quarterbacks. He like offers wisdom, you know, keeps his cool. He's sort of above the fray. And Aaron, who can't get to any more Super Bowls, is the bratty kid that won't listen to dad and gets very defensive if anybody offers criticism. But I look at this situation now, and it's kind of, Aaron's kind of unraveling. He's in a really, really weird space that he spent the offseason demanding power. This is not my opinion. This we all know that. And yet he doesn't like the responsibility that comes with power, which is criticism. And then he spent the off season talking about beautiful mysteries and the wisdom of silence, and he won't shut up. He's driving all this stuff. And I'll go back to it. Never married, no kids, not close with family, in a town he can't go outside that's cold and wet by mid-October. It's in his head. He's reading too much. This stuff is just insignificant. You're Aaron Rodgers. You're the reigning MVP. CBS, NBC, Fox, ESPN. They're not going to talk about you when you get blown out, when you won't work out. I mean, he's unraveling. And can you imagine Tom Brady wasting this kind of time? How small it would look to be bothered by a former tight end. By the way, Brady gets along, you know, with his former teammates. He doesn't ghost them. Heard brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. So I said this. When quarterbacks get old, you know, we've seen this with a Breeze. Brady's December record the last few years in New England wasn't quite as good. His stats went down a little bit. We arm fatigue for older players. We get that. Everybody's fresh in September. But for an older quarterback, you know, it gets to be November and in December. And, you know, you've thrown 600 passes and all those practices. But what happens when the quarterback looks really old in week two, and that's Ben Roethlisberger, and now in week two, here's the latest, according to his coach.
Ben has a pec injury of some kind on his left pec that could affect him from a preparation standpoint. Don't have an idea how much as I sit here right now, but we better be ready to be adjustable and deal with that.
I believe, and I said this before the season, that Pittsburgh's in a very, very bad place. They have a quarterback that was shot by the end of last year. He comes back. They give him more money. They've got no succession plan. They're rebuilding the offensive line, and the division is getting much, much better. Succession plans are hard, but Bill Belichick had one until he was forced to move Garoppolo. The Colts had to make tough decisions. They had one with Peyton Manning. Give the Packers credit. Aaron Rodgers sat and watched Favre for years. Alex Smith to Mahomes. These are difficult. I'm not saying they're easy. You got to draft somebody. Hopefully the quarterback understands the business of it. But, I mean, give Philadelphia credit. The minute Carson Wentz appeared to be brittle, second round, they went out and got Jalen Hurts. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is good, but they got a quarterback, and he's committed, and he's young, and he's mobile. Pittsburgh, the most disappointing part about this is you saw it coming for a decade. Like, COVID caught the country off guard, right? Like, there are certain things you're like, whoa, 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 we're kind of bailing water here on what to do. I understand situations like that. Or if Russell Wilson tomorrow just retired, whoa. But when you have a quarterback like Dak or Brady or Breeze or Russell Wilson, and you get this offseason commitment, leadership commitment, great with teammates, total team guy. If you got caught off guard with them, if Dak announced retirement tomorrow, I'll give you a total pass. It may take you 5 years to figure it out. But Pittsburgh saw this coming for years. They've got an antiquated audible system. It's just simplistic. He didn't work out in the offseason. There was constant drama. He was never the greatest teammate. Leadership, very debatable. This was the classic case, and Ben is aging like everybody ages in any industry when they don't commit to something. You can't eat like crap, and then all of a sudden at 62 say, you know what, I'm going to go into vegetables and yoga. Bro, it's too late. It's too late. But the disappointing part of this, Ben is what Ben is, and the Steelers allowed it. Again, if the Seahawks didn't have a succession plan today, or Dallas, and they got caught off guard, I get it. Because the traits of Russell Wilson, of a Brady in his prime, you know, the traits are totally committed. It's a 24/7 job. Football and family. Ben's been telling you for 12 years, diet, off-season, audible system, leadership. This morning you wake up, I think they're in a really bad spot. Would not be surprised at all. I'll tell you right now, one of my blazing five picks, Cincinnati +3.5 at Pittsburgh. This Steeler team and this Steeler franchise, not good. Say what you want about the Packers drafting Jordan Love. Had they given Aaron a heads up, I said, I didn't have a problem drafting him. Moving up, I don't know. Not giving him a text, I don't know. But it's hard. The succession plan thing, every quarterback gets really insecure. I get it. Pittsburgh's got none. Dwayne Haskins is not really a succession plan. It's a finger cross. He didn't work at the other place.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. All for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love, mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show. Great players want to be coached hard. I've never met a great player. They want to be pushed. I talked to Tony Dungy recently about Peyton Manning. Peyton wanted to be coached hard. Brady wanted to be coached hard. Kobe Bryant wanted to be coached hard. All great players do. The rest of the guys are insecure. If you're really great, you want people to get the most out of you. And so Bruce Arians, and I love this, is criticizing Tom Brady, the GOAT, but said this week there was a moment that ticked him off.
The sack fumble, he just should have got that out of his hand. He was getting a little greedy and should have got that ball out of his hand, and we got a field goal. Of all the drives in the game, that was the one I was most disappointed in, because that was when we got the penalty. We're going in to score. We get the penalty for roughing. Then we get the sack fumble. It should have been 14-0. That put me in a bad mood for the rest of the game.
I'm totally okay with that. Sean McVay got very frustrated with Jared Goff. Started holding him accountable for all the turnovers, not knowing the playbook, not having the ability to go deeper into the playbook. He had to call Jared Goff's audibles for him. He held him accountable. Sean McVay should, and the Rams today are better for it. The Steelers, by the way, have never held Ben accountable. What are they today? Rams look great to me. Steelers look like they could fold fast. By the way, the Philadelphia 76ers have never held Ben Simmons accountable. Now, I think he's got all the leverage. Sean Payton came out and publicly criticized Michael Thomas. Well, Sean Payton is largely considered, along with Andy Reid, the best offensive coach since Bill Walsh. And Michael Thomas, I've been told this by a Saints longtime employee, is difficult and is hard to coach. And Sean Payton came out and said, "You're hard to coach. This is on you. It's okay." The reason the NFL ratings this year, have you seen them? They're going through the roof. Any show, including ours, that is connected to the NFL, up, up, up. Why? Because it's like a real workplace. You can hold people accountable. The NBA, in my opinion, panders too often to stars. The great players want to be coached hard. You know, Ben Simmons doesn't want to be great. He doesn't want to be coached hard. All right. He's just going to make a lot of money. That's fine. But I love that Goff holds or McVay holds Goff responsible. I like that Bruce Arians goes out. I'd love to see more of this in the NBA, but if an NBA coach to even a marginal player says anything, he's in big trouble. But this is okay. This is fine. Bruce Arians is a coach. He's earned the right to criticize even the GOAT.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American made success story in Black Buffalo Zero Pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero Pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA.
by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instants. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
You know, one of the things that you rarely see in the NFL is a lousy contract. You know, in baseball, you sign these stars to 10-year deals. Even the stars, like you're like 4 years in and you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. You see that a lot in baseball. There are a lot of bad contracts because the contracts are so long and guaranteed. In the NBA right now, Ben Simmons is a terrible contract. And remember, in the NBA, you have to spend a certain amount. And so sometimes you're just given huge contracts to Otto Porter, who's a nice player. A few years ago, he got a contract. There are a lot of guys in this league paid like stars, and they're C players. And in the NFL, you don't see it a lot. I mean, you could cut Tom Brady today. He's not much of a cap hit. You could literally cut the GOAT. You couldn't cut Russell Wilson. You wouldn't want to, and you couldn't because he's a huge cap hit. But, I mean, think about the Rams right now. They're paying Jared Goff 13% of their cap. We consider them first, second, or third best team in the league because there's not a lot of bad contracts. If you're in a bad contract, you can get out of it very quickly. The NFL union, players union, is the weakest union, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. It what happens is, as a fan, your team is rarely trapped. And that's why I'm not a big believer in baseball and basketball, just giving the player what they want. In the NFL, I can appease a player, and I can eventually move off him, draft his replacement. One of the few bad contracts in the NFL, and it's awful now, and it's looking worse every month, is Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys. Jerry Jones got worked. He got completely worked. Right now, Pollard is averaging almost double per carry what Zeke is. Now, Jerry was talking on Dallas Radio about how he just loves the running back group.
The facts are that we really have an outstanding situation here, that Pollard gets up on him so fast and can really surprise the defense. He's stronger than he looks, but he just has got so sudden and got such a burst. And then Zeke, you don't even need to describe him. He's as powerful in terms of, I'm going to overuse the word, but his burst, I mean to tell you, he punishes the hell out of those defenders. And both of those are going to be a real staple for us as we get into the season.
Zeke is averaging 74 yards rushing since he signed 2 years ago that massive contract. That's with a good offensive line. That's an above-average offensive line. He's averaging 4.3 yards a carry since he signed that contract. Again, You can't jam your safeties down in the box against Dallas. The receivers are too good. They have a good offensive line. This is a terrible contract. The only thing that makes it palatable is that Tony Pollard's a fourth rounder and you're not paying him anything. So the running back unit as a whole, Tony Pollard saves it, or it would be one of the most overpaid groups, position groups in the league. Jerry got worked. Next year, Zeke is an $18.2 million cap hit. Next year. The year after that, he's a $16.7 million cap hit. He looks, if not washed, clearly the second best running back on this team. And so this is what I've said for Dallas. By the way, they have arguably the second worst contract in the league with Jalen Smith, the linebacker, great kid who's now a backup because of Micah Parsons. They tried to trade Jalen Smith in the preseason. No takers. So this has been my knock on Dallas. When it's a family business, you give your son, you give your daughter. And I think Charlotte Jones and Stephen Jones are very capable. That's not the issue. The issue is Dallas, Jerry does not allow outside voices, outside ears and eyes to have strong opinions. Jimmy Johnson tried to, ran him off. Parcells tried to, outsider, ran him off. Since then, it's been friends of Jerry and people that agree with Jerry. They have the worst skill contract in the league with Zeke. And Jalen Smith, again, good guy, has a bad contract. He's not starting, and he's being paid like a high-end starter. And now the Cowboys have an extra linebacker because Micah Parsons appears to be, you know, a really, really good player. Dallas's first and second round picks in the last 10 years have been good. It's not like they don't do anything right. But this is what I always worry about. If you go look at Kansas City and Tampa, Seattle, the LA Rams, their best players aren't all theirs. They have an incredible willingness to just go out and say, yeah, we made a mistake there. We're going to take that. Dallas, except Amari Cooper, all their top players are their draft picks. Why? It's a family business. We know what we're doing. Our players are the best. And then they overpay them to validate their players. Just because you pay a guy like a star doesn't mean he's a star. Zeke's no longer a star in this league. He's averaging 4.3 yards a carry. This year, he's averaging 3.9 yards a carry. Well, the offensive line. Well, Pollard's averaging 7.3 yards a carry. And again, this is not a team you can jam safeties down in the box and stop the run. CeeDee Lamb is a touchdown waiting to happen. Amari Cooper's a top 15 receiver.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So everybody always freaks out in the NFL. You got to play the young guy. Can't play the old guy. It's just like, take a deep breath. It'll all work out. Matt Nagy just announced Justin Fields for the Bears will start. Now, Andy Dalton's all beat up. He's an old quarterback. That happens. So Justin Fields is going to start. It's going to be bumpy. This is a bad offensive line. I've told you before. I got into this discussion yesterday. I do not trust the Bears front office. I don't call out a lot of front offices. But I don't know if they know how to work the cap. Literally, the Rams must be using a Swiss bank for the last 7 years. Jared Goff eats 13% of their cap. They're still paying Todd Gurley on their cap. And yet they can afford Matt Stafford and Andrew Whitworth and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. And the Bears don't pay their quarterback, got rid of their best corner because he was too expensive, and they're literally out of money. I can't explain it. Somebody's using a different bank. I don't think they understand the cap. The New Orleans Saints, before they had to unload some contracts 2 years ago, had like 9 highly paid players. O-line, D-line, secondary, wide receiver, quarterback. The Bears don't pay. If you don't pay your quarterback, then you should have a great offensive line or a great secondary. Or the only unit I like with the Bears, really like, is linebacker. Their offensive line's a mess. How's that possible? You don't pay your quarterback. So Justin Fields is going to be running for his life. They don't have a lot here. They're rebuilding everywhere. If Allen Robinson twists an ankle, I don't like the receiving core. They're still waiting for Tariq Cohen to come back. I think I liked him. So here we go. Ready to go with Justin Fields. Just be fair about it. Be fair with Trevor Lawrence. We view Trevor Lawrence, though, or Zach Wilson. We view them as, well, they don't have anything to work with. All I'm saying is, I don't think Justin Fields has a lot to work with. I don't. I love Allen Robinson. I like their linebackers. Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn. I like their linebackers a lot. Love Allen Robinson. They got a young safety back there that's pretty good. But this is a rebuilding team in Chicago. And Justin Fields, I think a lot of people think this is a great defense. No, it's not. It was a great defense 2 years ago, and they wasted it with Trubisky. It's not a great defense. Inconsistent pass rush. Secondary, eaten alive. Mistake after mistake against the Rams. So just be patient. I'm not saying this is Zach Wilson bad or Trevor Lawrence, but it's not close to what Mac Jones has. Mac Jones has an elite O-line, an elite coordinator, elite head coach, excellent running back group, tremendous defense, and now pretty cagey tight ends and wide receivers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
And with that, the voice of college football. Boy, we got a big one this week. Notre Dame at Wisconsin. Joel Klatt joining us live. 44 school records as the Buffalo starting quarterback. So let's start with this. Notre Dame at Wisconsin. So Jack Cohn was the Wisconsin quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't know the particulars, and I'm very well connected. But he ended up at Notre Dame, and now he faces them. And I've always had this weird, I can't figure Wisconsin out. How can they be great everywhere and never at quarterback? So Jack actually has some talent. He goes to Notre Dame, and what I've seen so far, he's better with the Irish than he was with Wisconsin.
You could argue that. It is interesting with Wisconsin, but part of the reason why he is at Notre Dame is because they felt like this Graham Mertz, who is their quarterback, was going to be higher ceiling player than what Cohn is. And Mertz hasn't really panned out in that regard, but they were clamoring for Mertz because he was more highly recruited than Jack Cohn. Cohn has been very good for Notre Dame,
yes.
And he's actually given them a little bit more in the passing game and the explosive passing game than they had with Ian Book.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take anything away from Book. He was a winning quarterback.
He's got a better arm than Book, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, and in particular down the field. And Mayer's a great tight end, and I think that they're going to be decent on offense. The struggle comes in for Notre Dame is that they're finally young. I say finally because they've had such a great run of offensive linemen. Such a great run.
Now it's all underclassmen.
And now they've got a lot of young guys who will be great. Like in 2 and 3 years, this Notre Dame offensive line is probably going to be as good as anybody in college football. Top 2-3 offensive line in college football. But right now, they're getting their feet wet. They've dealt with some injuries. And so that's what Cohn is having to deal with is trying to play quarterback behind an offensive line that's not quite giving the same run game production that they had a couple of years ago.
So I have been on this for years, and I think you have. We both love college football, but it's gotten very southern and very insular. Now, I love the SEC. I watch a ton of it. But I don't think any sport is good when it's regional.
Sure.
In fact, this is why...
What's wrong with baseball?
It's regional. Like nobody in New York cares about the Padres or the Minnesota Twins.
That's right.
So the NFL, we'll watch anybody. So this year in college football, it feels a little different.
Yes.
So first of all, Dan Mullen's a great coach. Florida gave Alabama a lot of problems.
Everything they could handle.
Now we know A&M and Georgia have 5-star athletes everywhere. So, by the way, I know Alabama's going to be around at the end, but do you think they roll through the SEC?
I will stop short. Listen, I will not make the mistake of saying Alabama is beatable. This is the year. Listen, Alabama still went in and won a game against a ranked opponent on the road with a very young roster, beat up at linebacker, first-year starter at quarterback, replacing all those wide receivers, right? Like, what they were able to do is still pretty impressive. The problem is that we hold them to the Alabama standard, which is beat the doors off of everybody. And maybe they're not quite that team, but they're still a very good team, and they probably will be there in the end. This year for me, though, I feel, and I see it in the ratings of our games and others, I feel it in the stadiums that we're at. And when I just walk around these towns, when I get into town on Thursday and Friday, people are more excited about college football this year than they have been in a long time.
Totally agree.
In a long time. And Colin, I think that part of that, there's two factors that I think are leading to this. One of them is the fact that we've seen vulnerability from the top.
Yeah.
And
Clemson's already lost. Their quarterback is not struggling a little bit.
Ohio State has lost.
Alabama almost lost.
Oklahoma has not looked like
good
world beaters.
At all. Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden you're getting these other fan bases that are like, hey, hey, this could be a great year for us at Iowa and Penn State, and Michigan State has come out of the doors, you know, playing so well. Michigan has as well. Oregon. You're getting this new blood feel of college football, and I think it's very good for the sport. Also, I would also say that the two things this year that are different are that you've got so many transfers and the super senior, the sixth-year player, which don't necessarily affect in a positive fashion OU, Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, because all of their super seniors are in the NFL.
Right.
So all these other programs have very experienced older players.
Now, let me push back a little. A lot of you guys, you media types, you give you give flowers to players and coaches. You crown them. And let me push back on this. So, you know, Ryan Day gets the job from Urban, and an hour later, I'm told he's Belichick. He is on the train, and I'm like, all right, I watched their defense last year, stinkeroo. I watch it this year, it's not very good. Everybody, Mark Helfrich took over for Chip Kelly, and for a year, you didn't see anything.
Oh, he had Mariota, still.
Okay, I'm watching Ohio State now. This is the second year without Urban. That defense is not a championship defense.
No.
It's not close.
No, and they're going through some wild growing pains right now. And you could argue that, like, well, he just inherited everything from Urban, but that's not technically accurate because he recruited Justin Fields to come there. That was a post-Urban decision from Justin Fields.
Yeah.
He hired Jeff Hafley. That actually wasn't Urban's first choice to be the defensive coordinator in Ryan's first year. That was a Ryan hire. Now, as a head coach, what these guys are going to have to start to understand, these young guys, and Lincoln Riley's going to deal with it, and Ryan Day is going to deal with it, is that you have to either be Dabo Swinney or Nick Saban. What do you mean by that, Joel? Well, Dabo Swinney has created a culture where all of his assistants just stay.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to deal with the turnover on the staff. You know, Elliott has been there. Venables has been there. They're coordinators. Now, they get the support from the school to pay them handsomely, well over $2 million, just to be assistant coaches. Or you've got to be Nick Saban, which is, I'll win with 8 different coordinators. It doesn't matter because my standard is high enough, and the draw to coach here is high enough where it doesn't matter who comes in, we're going to still succeed. And Ryan is going to have to figure out, where do I want to go defensively? It's not a particular scheme, but it's a coach. And he hired Kerry Combs, and it hasn't worked.
No, didn't they demote him?
And then they took his play-calling duties last week in the Tulsa game, and that didn't necessarily work. They're struggling with some personnel, both from injuries and the fact that they're just inexperienced at defensive back.
Let's wait another hour or two before we crown him the next Belichick.
Okay.
A lot of that. I'm not pointing just at you, Clark.
You are, actually, physically. I feel like physically he was pointing just at me. Ryan is a heck of a coach. Offensively, they're so good, and it won't surprise me at all if they're just fine after all of this is all said and done.
Okay, I want to get to something else. So, again, I view myself as almost America's mentor to the media.
America's mentor to the man to the media.
Yeah. Joy and I, by the way, collaborate on this because we see the world from a unique, accurate view.
Well, thank God Joy's involved, because if it was just you.
So when Mel Tucker got the Michigan State job, this is where I don't get the media. There were all these questions. I don't know. And I remember going and saying something on Twitter. I don't recall what it was. And I'm like, time out. Mel Tucker's going to be a home run at Michigan State. First of all, I've met Mel. Walks into the room, boom. He's got James Franklin quality. Like, some guys walk in and they're like,
does have presence, and at times it can be even like some people can own the room with like a jovial presence, and some can own it with an angry presence.
His
is more of a, like an intimidating anger type of presence.
But in college football,
a furrowed brow.
Yes, presence is everything.
I agree.
Clay Helton had none. Mel Tucker's got a presence. The second thing is he turned Colorado in 2 years, which is a soft croissant at the bakery program into a physical presence. Now, here's
Colorado is a great, historically good program that has fallen on some hard times, and they're going to be just fine. But I do agree with you, though.
He's the best underdog coach, arguably, in the Big Ten. Harbaugh never wins as an underdog.
Mel Tucker wins
everywhere he goes is an underdog.
I think Kirk Ferentz is in there as well. I mean, and you're forgetting about Pat Fitzgerald. You tend to be, you proclaim yourself to be like the mentor to the media.
Yeah.
You also are like the world's biggest prisoner of the moment, which is happening right now. So you see Mel like beat Miami, and he's like, yes, and you just dive into the prison cell of the moment.
You don't like
now, Mel is very good, and I'm a big fan of what Michigan State has done with Kenneth Walker. Yeah. But the best underdog coach in the Big Ten is Pat Fitzgerald. Let's not be the prisoner of the moment. They've won the division two of the last 3 years, and he's done it at Northwestern. Northwestern. Like that, Pat Fitzgerald does more with less in the Big Ten than anybody. Now, having said that, I love what Michigan State has done.
Right.
And their identity of toughness and physical play and run game,
yeah.
that's gonna pay huge dividends down the road in the Big Ten schedule. And that division, by the way, all of a sudden looks like it's somewhat up in the air. Penn State looks very good.
Very good.
Michigan, I'm not going to say this is the year because that's just like, it's great. Michigan looks good. They're leading the country in rushing, and then Michigan State also.
I'll tell you, how about that? I got to be honest, just that whole Penn State thing. Oh, my God.
That was good.
I took Auburn. I was slightly off. So let's go to this. So when you got a big announcement. Let's wait. I want to hold that for a couple minutes. You got a big, major announcement.
I've got news. I'm breaking news here on your show today.
Okay. So one more little tiny thing. So it's not news yet, USC. So I came out and I said, listen, consider a pro coach. Miami, UCLA, and USC are urban universities. You're not going to control things. Like, you got to get out of that. NFL coaches never get control. The owner has it. The GM has it. So NFL coaches, they like to coach. They don't worry too much about control. College guys tend to be kind of control freaks.
No, they're dictators.
Okay, so I said, LA, Miami, look at the history. Go, you know, John Robinson, Pete Carroll, Dennis Erickson, Jimmy Johnson, Butch Davis, they either came from the NFL or appreciated it and saw the NFL as a real future job. So I threw Doug Peterson out, the Philadelphia coach who's on the beach, reminds me of an offensive Pete Carroll, kind of a youthful, fun. If he lived in Hermosa Beach tomorrow and coached USC, he looks and feels like the coach. But I'll say this, and I'm not that I'm anti-college coach, but I would prefer a pro coach. The name I've heard from about six people, I don't even like going there, but good God, does he have a presence and does he feel big, is James Franklin. He feels huge. I watched him before that game. He like owns every room he's in.
Yeah, I mean, and he's done a really good job with Penn State and gotten them to a point where he won a Big Ten championship, probably should have gone to the playoff over an Ohio State team that he beat that year.
Yes,
but he didn't get in because of our wonky system with the postseason. he's done a heck of a job. He can recruit.
Yes.
And I think the one question, because I agree with you, and I don't think that the coach has to have coached in the NFL, but he has to have, I call it NFL DNA. And what does that mean? It means that a coach can own a pro city with his presence and also be comfortable enough in his own skin for his players to be more famous than him. That takes a unique personality.
It does.
And
James Pete has that.
And I think James has that as well. He's done a heck of a job. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of interest there mutually.
I'm hearing that name in L.A. from people that have at least they're around USC. I'm just hearing it over and over from people I respect.
I have as well.
Okay. All right. So I don't know what's going on here. You got some big announcement to make.
Yes.
All right. So announce it.
Okay. So next week, our Big Noon kickoff game is going back to Madison. We will have the Wolverines on our air against Wisconsin, Big Noon Saturday. But we also have had our road show, the Big Noon kickoff, out with us to begin the season, and they're coming back out on the road. So we are going back to Madison, Wisconsin with Big Noon kickoff. Rob, Reggie, Matt, Brady, and Coach Stoops will be live on campus for Big Noon kickoff. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Not this Saturday, but next. We're going to be live both shows in Chicago this week for Wisconsin Notre Dame.
Oh.
But the big news is Big Noon kickoff will be live from Madison next Saturday, October 2nd, before Wisconsin and Michigan kick on Fox at noon Eastern.
I'll tell you what, these noon games are great.
I love them. And the ratings have been terrific. I'm telling you, the appetite for college football right now has never been better. And this is exactly what we needed, is more teams to have interest. Now all we need, and by the way, the College Football Playoff Board of Managers are meeting today, and they're talking about expansion. It's not going to go through today because of the SEC and their growth and expansion with Texas and Oklahoma. But very quickly, it will happen at some point. It's going to be great for the sport, in particular if we can grow to 10, 12, or maybe even 14 teams. Because think of all the teams that would still have a massive massive amount of interest. Think about BYU fans right now. Thinking about a 12-team playoff, they'd be like, we're right in the hunt. We're 3-0, two ranked wins. BYU would be right in the hunt for the playoff. That would be good for the sport, folks.
Good to see you. You know what? The mutual respect here between us is
very strong. It's very high. It's been stronger this year than others. I just have to pull you out of that prisoner of the moment issue.
I got a lot of passion for what I'm doing.
Sometimes, I understand. I mean, you forgot about Pat Fitzgerald. He was basically offered the Packers job a couple of years ago.
You got Ryan Day in Canton 3 weeks ago.
When did this happen? I've never compared him to Belichick in my life.
Some of you media types. I'm not in the media.
You're not?
No. No. I always say this. Austin, Texas is in Texas. It's not of Texas.
Oh, you're in the media, not of the media. I see. You're a man of the people.
Boom.
That's interesting because I actually go and I'm around people, and none of them claim that you're a man of the people when I'm out and about.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.